Permission. Okay, everybody, welcome back to yet another Biblical People, Places, and Things. And of course, tonight I'm going to do something a little bit exciting. Tonight, you and I are going to explore an individual who appears in this week's Parsha. He is a person, he is a very important character, and yet he's kind of like a primary character who plays a secondary character. And I don't know what he's doing in my Chumash. And of course, I'm going to discuss the individual in the Parsha, Chamor Avi Shechem. So in order for us to do that, let's start at the beginning. Okay. And in order to do that, we'll start at the beginning. And we'll take a look at what we know about Chamor. So first of all, let's start by looking at the Psukim as they appear in the Torah. We read in the Torah as follows. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Yerushchem, Asher Beretz Kanan. Yaakov came to, after dealing with Esav, after all the excitement in the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov comes to Shechem, which is in Eretz Kanan, Bevomi Padan Aram, Vayichan Es Pnei Ha'ir, and then he sets himself up opposite the city. Vayichan Es Chalkas Hasada Shanat Hashem Ha'alom Yad Bnei Chamor Avi Shechem, B'mei Ksita. So he buys this section of the field from Chamor, who's the father of Shechem, right? And he buys it from the sons of Chamor, who's the father of Shechem. What a weird way of referring to the Pasuk. And he pays Mea Ksita. Ve'atzav Shem Mizbech, and he puts up a shul over there. Ve'yikra lo kel Elokei Yisrael. So, of course, we got to first ask, why is he buying the land from the sons and not the father? Right, he's buying the land from Bnei Chamor, so obviously he's an important character. And usually, when you think about whom you're making the deal from, you deal with the patriarch, deal with the top. But here they deal with the sons. And why is he first identified to us as Avi Shechem, as the father of Shechem? There's obviously more than one son. It's Bnei Chamor, right? And what does that tell you about Chamor when you are your son's father? What does that tell you about the individual? What does it mean by Yichan Es Pnei Ha'ir? When Yaakov came, he camped Es Pnei Ha'ir, opposite. How do you think the people are going to react to that? So let's take a look a little bit further. The Psukim also tell us, and a little bit later, right after this first episode, where we also read, we read as follows: Vateitze Dina Basleya Asher Yalda LeYaakov Liros Bivnos Haaretz. We learn about the Dina. Vayaro saw Shechem ben Chamor achivi nisi haaretz. Who sees her? Shechem ben Chamor, who comes from which nation? Chivi. And he was the president of the area. Vayikach osa, vayishkav osa vayana. And of course, he takes her and he has relations with her and he causes her pain. Vatidbak nafsho b'dina bas Yaakov. And he becomes infatuated with her. He loves her and he tries to speak to her. And then in some world of absolute craziness, Shechem asks his father to go get this girl for him, right? And of course, we got to stop and look at those psukim and just say, like, wait a second. When we see that Shechem ben Chamor achivi nesi haaretz, who is the nesi haaretz going on? Is it a reference to Chamor? Was Chamor the president of the land? Was Shechem the president of the land? If Shechem is the president of the land, why does he need to have Chamor go for him? Who's supposed to make the wedding? And then Rav Rafi Posen used to be the Chazan in Keren B'Yavne. He was a big, big, big expert in Tanakh. So Rav Posen also used to tell us that this is the only time that we find a yalda in Tanakh. The Dina is referred to as Kachlis HaYalda HaZos. What's the significance of the fact that Dina was identified as a yalda, right? And what does that tell us about Chamor? Remember, Chamor being our central character of the week. But let's go on with it and continue what we know. The Psukim continue to tell us, Yaakov Shama, Kitimeis Dina Bito. Yaakov heard that they defiled Dina. Ubanav hayus mikneu basadeh, and his children were with the animals at the field. Ve'herish Yaakov ad boam, Yaakov was quiet. And I got to stop and ask you, why was Yaakov quiet? Yaakov shouldn't have been quiet. Maybe he should have said something. And look at the contrast. So here's the father of the girl, the father of the boy. Right? Chamor's approach is the exact opposite of Yaakov's. Yaakov is hecharish. He's quiet. Chamor comes to speak. And then what happens? When Yaakov, Boman Asadek Shamam, and the children of Yaakov come, they hear the whole story. Where'd they hear the story from? Right? Vayisatzvu, and they were very sad. Hanashim, they were very saddened. Vayichalem la'od, and then they were angry. Kinevallah, Sabi Yisrael, Ishkavis, Bas Yaakov, Vachin lo yaaseh. This was a disgusting thing. It's not acceptable. Of course, it should also be not acceptable to rape their sister, not just Bas Yaakov. So what's up with that? What does it mean, Vachin lo yaaseh? What's the deal? So, and of course, Vaydaber Chamor itam lemor. Now Chamor stopped speaking to Yaakov, right? He had gone out Lidaber ito in Pasuk Vav, but in Pasuk Ches, now he's speaking to the brothers. And he says, Shchem b'ni chashka nashka b'vitchem. My son Shchem, he's interested in your daughter. Tenu na usa lo li'isha. All the tenses are messed up here. Who is Chamor speaking to? He starts to come speak to Yaakov. Yaakov doesn't respond. Now the brothers are speaking, but now he's talking about your daughter. What's going on there? And then he listened to his deal. He says, look, we'll make a great deal. We'll all make weddings. Your daughters will marry us, and our daughters will marry you. It's so interesting that he focuses on the daughters. And then you'll live with us. The land will be in front of you. Go settle the land and fill it in. And so, you know, like I said before, why is Yaakov silent? Whom should Chamor speak to? Ito or Itam? And why are we finding both references? And what's the focus on the girls? But while we're on that subject, the psukim don't end here when we deal with Chamor. Remember, our focus tonight's on Chamor, not on Shechem. But if I have to tell the story, I want to tell the story from Chamor's perspective. So Shechem says to her father and to her brothers, right? Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Harbu alayim ma'od mohar o'matan, ask whatever dowry you want. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to do. Let me keep the girls, the girl. So vayanu b'nei Yaakov eshchem eschamor aviv b'mirma v'yidaberu. They answered b'mirma, whatever that word means, we'll have to figure it out. And they said, asher timei es dina achosam, you raped our sister. What does the word b'mirma mean? We have to figure that out as well. So instead, since we're not done, this pasuk is so important, I really don't want to lose it, these psukim, they're so essential. Vayomer aleihem, so the brothers say back to Chamor and Shechem, we can't do this thing to give our sister to a person who has a foreskin. It's so embarrassing. This is how we can listen to you. And if you will go and be like us to have brisen, right? Either you go ahead with the deal on the bris, or you don't. And if you don't, we're going to take our sister back, actually our daughter back. And the idea was good in Chamor's eyes, and also in the eyes of Shechem, which raises the question, what was different between the eyes of Chamor and those of his son, right? Chamor, the pasuk in Pasuk Yeches, which is in front of you, says that the idea was good to them in the eyes of Chamor, and then in the eyes of Shechem, the son of Chamor. It sounds like they each had a different perspective. And then, of course, the psukim continue. V'lo eichar anar la'asos ha'davar ki chafetz bevas Yaakov u'nechman meko be'esavet. Shechem doesn't hold back. He was the most honored of all the children in his father's house. So what does he do? So Hamor comes, and his son Shem happens to come there. It's going to work out and be a wonderful deal economically and also in terms of marriage. It won't be a shidduch crisis. There's just one thing that we have to do to, so that they'll assimilate with us. The men have to have a brace. But remember, you go through the bris, and all their money we can have. That's what they need in order for us to live there. And he's stressing something over there. So they listen to Chamor and Shechem. All the people who leave the Shar Ha'ir. So all the males go ahead and undergo a bris. And of course, I got to point out to you that there was a selling point, but what was that selling point to the people that led them to say, he gets Dina, Shechem. Chamor gets to join Yaakov Avinu as a Mechutin. What are the other people in the city getting out of the deal? And of course, what happens is at the end of the story, we know all too well, Vayibayom HaShlishi Biosam Koabim. We see on the third day when they were in pain, we see that Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dina, each took the sword, they took all this, they killed the city, all the men, and then they take knives or swords and they kill Chamor and Shechem. And they took Dina, and then they left. And of course, obviously the people die by Argu Kol Zachar, but the Torah wants us to understand that Chamor, who is our focus tonight, and Shechem, seem to get special deaths. Why do they get special deaths? And of course, later Yaakov Avinu, just to finish and round out our psukim, Yaakov Avinu comes along and he says to Yosef, "Vani nasati lecha Shechem echad alachecha." So he's referring to the destruction of the city of the Shechem. Asher lakachti miara amori becharbi ubekashti. I took the city of Shechem from the Amori with my sword and with my my keshet, with my bow, right? And of course, I have to stop you because where did Shechem come from? What tribe? What country? Chivi, right, Marv?
Yep.
So how come he now refers to it as Amori, right? Amori, I thought they were Chivi. And so we're going to have to figure that out as well. All this comes out of one guy, Chamor. And while we're at it, let's just add the very important Wenger corollary, Dr. Wenger. What does Chamor mean? We're going to have to figure out what Chamor means. Should just be pointed out while we're here that the Medrash comments, Asher lakachti miara amori, right? The Medrash says that he was a Chivi, but we know that Chivi is included within Amori. Amori was a larger nation. Chivi was like a smaller group. You can be a Floridian and be an American. And so therefore, we identify, the Floridians as Americans as well. And you could say you're a Chivi, but your bigger nationalism is to the Amori. So we've got our Wenger corollary and this whole parak, which we've now learned, and we really don't get most of it. So we got to figure it out through the eyes of Chamor. So let me ask you a question. Stop a moment. We know what a Chamor is. What's a Chamor?
A donkey.
Chamor is a donkey. Very good. Now, when you think of a Chamor in Judaism, what thoughts cross your mind? Positive, negative? What do we think of donkeys?
Hardworking.
Give me an example. Take me through Tanakh.
When Avraham is about to take Yitzchak to the Akeda, loads up the donkey.
Right. So one of the animals that I would say, as I've joked on a number of occasions,
beast of burden.
Huh?
a beast of burden.
Right. Okay. What else do we know about donkeys? We know that at the Akeda, Shvulachem poem al chamor, am hadom al chamor. Right. So we find that one reference. Anything else?
There's you're not allowed to use the firstborn chamor.
Peter chamor tifteh b'sav. All the animals that exist that are non-kosher animals, only peter chamor exists. Anything else? So among the Bnei Yaakov, there is one that is associated with a donkey. Anyone?
It's
it's Yisachar. Very good. Yisachar chamor garim rovetz bein hamishpasayim. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was bringing his children and Zipporah back towards the land of Egypt, Torah tells us vayar kivim al chamor. We know that when Yishayahu Anavi rebukes the people, we're told Yadashur koneu b'chamor evus ba'alav, right?
There's also Mashiach.
And that's the last phrase that you'll see over there, that Mashiach is identified as an ani b'rochev alachamor. Now, so we have some very interesting cross references. On the one hand, we find that the Canaanites are identified as the am hadom alachamor, right? Eliezer and Yishmael. Not necessarily a great reference. And yet you have Yisachar in the Jewish people, who is also similar to a chamor. We have the Peter chamor. We have Mashiach. But yet at the same time, we have the Jewish people not recognizing themselves, as Yishayahu says, Yisrael or Yada Milo Hisponan. And the question I have to ask you, as we go back over that last list, is there anything that distinguishes and finds commonality among this list that we've identified so far? Is there anything that we could use about donkeys that can give us some insight into the man who is a donkey? His name is all about donkey. It will give us a perspective on the whole story with his son, Shechem. Thought? So I think the first lesson is maybe there's something about him that may shed light on the name or the title. So let's start with the Medrash Seichel Tov, where the Medrash says, "Vayomer Shechem al chamor aviv lemor." Oh, lemor. Lemor as a word, when you see it, is always to tell somebody else, right? So what does it mean, lemor? Say this. Malami chikir be'aviv shukal das. The first thing is, Shechem knew that his dad was pretty simple. Lo samach alav, elagam shalach lemor liyakov ayideh shluchim acherim. That is to say, he didn't rely on chamor alone. When he sent Chamor out to go do the dirty work, he sent other people because he said, this is what you'll say. He makes Chamor out to be, in the eyes of his son, Shechem, Chamor is almost imbecilic, right? And he wants him to have a certain ability. It tells us something about Chamor, at least in the eyes of his son. Radak, in source number 4, also points out, when Yaakov purchased land, he also saw he wasn't buying from Chamor. That the children own stuff independent of their father. Very uncommon in biblical times. It was uncommon for children who are living around the father to not be part of the family business. And he's Avish Chemkia and Aviv Elav. And when we mention that he's the father of Shechem, that's a dig at Chamor, because Shechem was more better known. And Rosham Shemfar Hirsch also adds, "Kachli Hadon Shechem Daber Kesultan." Right? When Shechem speaks, he's like a sultan. Shehit Yel Ishto Tali Kaniyah Rak Birtzono. He's only interested in himself. Right? Hein Hu Ayabala Achuzav Irak Nari Yehudia Zara. I'm the prince here. Right? This is Shechem's perspective. And he turns to his father, and he speaks to his father like a sultan also. So again, we have the Medrash that tells us that Shechem didn't think highly of his father. We have the Radak who says that the kids in general were more famous than the father and didn't think too highly of him. And Shechem in particular was like a sultan. Now tell me something. There's one massive takeaway message that I see in this context, and it's best summed up by a Gemara in the Nedarim. Why doesn't it happen that Talmidei Chachamim have Talmidei Chachamim? Amar of Yosef, Shal Yomru Tor Yerusha Yidlahem, we don't want the people to think it comes to them easy. You know, my daughter came home the other day and she said, I'm frustrated. I said, why are you frustrated? She said, there was an extra credit question and I got it right. I said, oh, now I totally don't understand. So she says to me, no, Abba, you don't understand. When the people asked me why I got it right, I said, oh, I looked into it. And they said, oh, because your father's a rabbi. She says, no, because I looked it up. You know, why do people assume that I get extra credit questions? Because you happen to be a rabbi. I said, you know, I guess there's one small perk to the job, but it's not a necessary guarantee. Rav Sheshe says, and that's what the Gemara says over here also. It's not a guarantee that just because the parent knows something or the Talmid Chacham knows something that his children will know the same things and will achieve the same greatness. Rav Sheshe sprayed to Rav Idi Omer, Kiddushal Yisgadru Ala Tzibur. The other reason why Talmidei Chachamim don't come after Talmidei Chachamim is we don't want them to become lords over the Tzibor. Marzut Ramanei Shemes Gavim Ala Tzibor. They actually do take over the Tzibor. But here's the real best. Rav Ashi Amar Mishum Dekaru L'Inchei Chamri. They call the people, the Hamonam, they just call them a bunch of donkeys. There's something about this understanding that they have that there's something that leads the people to be different. And what is that? Donkeys have a unique style. They're blind to the situation in front of their noses. And that's what, you know, if you think about it, right? The carrot goes out right in front of the donkey and he sees nothing else, right? In fact, Rehersh says, Mishum kach, gam chamor eno pona el ha'avo el ha'achim. This is, it will show us how ridiculous it was, right? He turns to the brothers. He doesn't turn to Yaakov Avinu. And we see that Rav Hirsch goes on to make the same comparison that you and I made. The contrast, Yaakov Avinu, he's quiet. He's a zaken. He's waiting. But Chamor says his job is to do what? To talk. He's gonna go ahead and talk and talk and talk. And so he was afraid to speak to Yaakov. And so therefore he turns around because he keeps talking. So he turns to the young sons thinking that what? He's going to go ahead and show the sons that he, you know, the old man, he's going to be hurt because look what you did to his daughter. But the brothers, they're going to be wise. They're going to say, they're going to see that this is potentially a good deal. And so therefore that what's going to happen to them is that they're going to be the ones to talk to. He doesn't even bother to think that the sons are going to have the same reaction that as the father. To him, it's great. This whole episode that happened is a great opportunity. And Malbim goes ahead in source number 8 and he says, yeah, that's exactly right. Chamor says, yeah, I'll change all the rules. Right? There used to be a certain rule. You're married to citizens, right? If you're part of the family, you'd find, you know, extended family, you got married. Otherwise, it would be strangers. And similarly, says the Malbim, the immigrants didn't have the same rights as the people living in the land. But what does Chamor want to do? He's going to change everything, right? You know, I think the Chamor today would be called Brandon. Right, Zaya Davar Chamor. This is a very serious thing. By the way, watch the play of the Malbim Chamor and Chamor. Right, Umena Pratias Hanogel of Hiton Halas Iniach Leshchem Benoshi Yedaber. On the specifics, let Shchem talk. Yamashchem Beni Chashcha Nashu Bevitchem Shachishak Umivdam and Ava VaChifetz Shachishak Ein Loenaim. My son's infatuated. There's no desire over here. There's no issue here. But the way that Chamor approaches the conversation, according to Malbim, is he speaks about how I'll change the laws. I'm going to make everything even for everybody. And he screams out, you know, there's no difference between a a citizen and a outsider, and he's almost like blind to what's in front of his face, and he doesn't understand that the people he's speaking to are not happy about it. And so therefore, and that's an important thing to consider. And then when we look at the Netziv and he sees how good it is in the eyes of Chamor and then in the eyes of Shechem, he says, "Emuta b'advarim be'inei Chamor mikol shekein be'inei Shechem." He says, if it's a good thing in the eyes of Chamor, it's certainly going to be good in the eyes of Shechem. Ela k'moshe kasamnu, she'evim shimyimo atzmo shuv ein adav aracho kol kach, avagav she'dibru imo reseis mikol makom, betach she'yifayis osam b'mashem al atzmo. You know, he says, if I take the step, I know that you were very angry with me. He's assumed that, look, all I have to do, we'll all get these lousy surgical procedures, but you'll see how serious we are. We are taking this, and you'll treat us better. And he doesn't even stop to think like how awful that idea is. Like a chamor, he sees things short. But, you know, you can be sneaky, but what winds up happening is somebody who's short-sighted winds up being lost on the process. And so Chamor actually sells this back to his own people with that same sense of donkey short-sightedness. Like the Malbim says in Source 11, right? He turns and he says, we're not going to do a bris for Gerus. We're going to do a bris to be able to handle, to get all the economic benefits. We're going to totally destroy this family and keep all their stuff. By the way, Marv, the Malbim's language from modern times cannot be lost upon us. It shows us how they wanted to swallow, you know, a whole legion of immigrants to the point where what? They were willing to undergo physical pain of a bris in order to be anshei Hamas, to be thieves. It was only the ones who live in the city. You'll notice it's only the ones who left the city who had the bris, right? Not the people in the suburbs. The people in the burbs didn't want to go ahead and take Yaakov Avinu's money. And the, you know, the Torah Tamima quotes Yerushalmi in Kiddushin, who says that this is similar to the style of the Nachash in the Midbar, in the Gan Eden, where the Nachash in Gan Eden thinks to himself, whatever happens, I'm going to come out ahead, right? And Chamor and Shechem, they move in that mindset as well. They're able to see only like the donkey. They see the carrot and they stay hyper-focused. But here's the danger that comes out of that. And what's that danger? The danger is when you're so hyper-focused, you sometimes lose. And so Rabbeinu Bachaya turns around and he says that he says Vayetze Chamor Avi Shechem al Yaakov l'daberito. The Chamor went out to speak to Yaakov. So Amru b'Medrash, we said in the Medrash as follows. And what's that? We say in the Medrash, Amar le Yodei Ani she'Avram Ziknecha Nasi haya. I know that Avraham was a leader. I'm also a leader, right? So give the daughter of a prince to a prince. Some of the Yaakov ain't nasi el ashor. You have to understand, Avram Avinu is like a shore, right? Shenemar ve'la bakaratz Avram uksiv rav tvuos b'koach shore. And what are you? What's your title, Mr. Father of Shechem? You're not a shore. You're a chamor. What is it? You're a donkey. What does the Torah tell us about a shor and a chamor?
Not to put them together.
Bingo! Right? V'at a chamor v'ein yecholun lizdavig. A shor and a chamor cannot be together. Shari a Torah amra lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtav. V'anavi tzoveich l'ra'oscha atam v'akshu shenemar. Achucha asher b'lebanon shalach el ha'erez asher b'lebanon le'mor. The thorn in Lebanon sends a message to the cedar, and he says, why don't we, our kids, get together? And we'll be able to go, and so the animal of the field goes through. Each one of the children of Yaakov are all identified as animals, right? And what do animals do to a thorn? What does a donkey do to a thorn? Eats it. He devours it. In fact, many of the animals, the lion and the snake and the wolf, they all have abilities to chew on thorns, right? The bottom line, he says, Rabbeinu Bachaya, you know, Yaakov Avinu says to Chamor, you don't understand. We're not going to meet together. You're going to get destroyed in the process, and you're going to lose. And here's what the Medrash Tanchuma says, right? If somebody doesn't care about his friend, he's missing a heart. When somebody is embarrassed of his friend, I'm sorry, he embarrasses his friend, he's called somebody who lacks a heart. When the person who gets embarrassed has logic, he thinks well, he puts his hand over his mouth, he's quiet. A wise person is quiet. Who is the one who is like flippant, hyper focused on his own self and his own flippancy? That's chamor, right? The man who's silent, that's a reference to Yaakov. Shemar v'hechrish Yaakov ad Boan. Mitoch ma, aydea kalkala azu, vateitze dina basleya. Because of the situation of dina basleya. And a person needs to understand that that is a serious, serious situation. So if we carry it a drop further, we could perhaps understand what was Chamor so hyper focused on? What was the carrot that he was staring at that we want to bring to the forefront? And what messages does this Nasi Haaretz bring to the forefront, to the table in front of us? So I think that the word Chamor contains within it another word that will perhaps give us a perspective. Chamor can also be read not as Chamor, but also Chomer. Maza Chomer, Marvin.
Material that forms something that
materials, right? And when we talk about Chomer in terms of spiritual thought, Chomer is a reference to materialism. And that's what Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin points out over here. He says, you have to understand the Chamor, Vayakiveh Malach Chamor, when we say that Moshe Rabbeinu brought a Tzipora and the kids back on the Chamor. Here's Rashi, Chamor Miuchad Shechavash Avram LaAkedas Yitzchak. This was the donkey that Avram Avinu took to Akedas Yitzchak. Ubevadayein HaKavona Shechamor Chai Alpayim Shana. If it's a 2,000-year-old donkey, it's not going to really hold Tzipora, much less Tzipora and the kids. Rak HaMechuvan Shehakol Kedusha Achas. You have to understand that all had one Kedusha. It was the same Kedusha of Hara Moriah, was now the Kedusha that was traveling to go ahead and head into the land of Egypt. Well, Zek Kasha, and so the Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, that's hard for me to understand. Shreya Chamor Shal Avram Avinu Nidrash, Ama Dama LaChamor, the Gariusa. When we think about the donkey at the Akedah, it was used as a knockdown. Acha Inyan de Chamor, Merames Luguf Shehu Chomer. A donkey is about the body. It's about the material. Avram Avinu Ksivay Achavoshas Chamor, like Marvin said, right? When Avram went to the Akedah, Avram went ahead and prepared the donkey himself. Shekova Shaguf Leo spoke Kedusha. He captured the, so to speak, this power of Chomer to infuse it with Kedusha. Ubisho Sharachav Alav Nepach Letov. So when Avram's riding on this donkey, he uses it for a positive purpose, Umarames Lekedusha, and it hints to holiness. Ukshainicho Eitzel Yishmo Eliezer Eitzelam. But when he left the donkey to go up to the rest of the mountain, the rest of the way, and he leaves it with Yishmael and Eliezer, Hayah Hamor, Deklipa, Klipa Sataba. So he leaves it alone. He takes the Kedusha with him. And what does he leave Eliezer and Yishmael with? The shell, the physical donkey. And this is what Avram Avinu meant when he said, Am Adom al-Chamor. You guys are materialistic. You guys don't mean anything. All you can see is financial benefits. you can't recognize holiness. And by the way, the donkey can't either. Moshe was worried, right, that what would happen if he would leave his children in Midian, they might not be able to grow up to live a life of Torah mitzvos. And he wanted them to get the Torah. He put them on the donkey. He wanted them to rule over Chomer, Chamor, right? And that's why Mashiach also was going to ride on a donkey. When all of Am Yisrael gets out of just looking at the daily grind like a donkey, that's when Mashiach's going to come. Then the Yitzhara could be Geshachten, Vazia, Guf, Malik, Kedusha. That's when the body will be filled with Kedusha. And that is something that we find with Yishmael as well, that Yishmael was totally interested in Chomer, in materialism. Hence, he was Yado Bakol V'yad Kobo. And the Chasam Sofer makes a similar point in the next source, when he also says that Amadomer lechamor, he says, why is that? Why do we compare them to a chamor and not to a horse or a mule? Says the Chasam Sofer, Ikar tachliso shalumo saholam hi laasok binyanei mikne v'kinyan ubiyishav olam hazeh. He says the Chasam Sofer, the whole purpose of the nations of the world is to serve this world and to acquire things in this world, so that we're able to go ahead and think on a higher level. And when they partner with us, they get Olam Haba. But it depends on whether they have the focus or they don't have the focus. And this brings us back to a very, very modern, but very special source, one that you don't see too often, because in a very, very limited run, there's something called the AI Rosh Hashanah Journal that appeared in the year 5777. And in that journal, we mentioned the phrase Shvulach Empola Imachamor. And we noted as follows: why is the donkey so important to the Akedah story? And we quoted the Gemara Mesachamim Tesamid Beis, who quotes none other than our dear friend Rabbi Akiva, our Rabbi and friend, who used to note that in his early years, if he were to see a Talmud Chacham Banashchenu Kachamor, I'll bite him like a donkey. Panim Yafos explains that the donkey has the ability to suck the marrow out of a bone without breaking it. And the trick is the stubborn focus of the donkey on its goal. And that's true of Yisachar, who is also identified as a donkey. But he's identified as a donkey due to his pure stubbornness in keeping the word of Hashem. And Avram too remains stubbornly focused on carrying out the word of Hashem. Like the donkey, Avram reminds us that despite the challenges around us, every Jew's ultimate success comes when he or she acts with an eye towards the real goals in life, following the words of Hashem. In essence, what we learned from Chamor and the Chamor is a sense of realizing what's in front of you and where are you going to put your focus. Chamor Avi Shechem takes a focus and tries to convince the people of Shechem around a focus. It's a focus around Chomer. It's a focus around materialism. How are you going to get ahead? And so therefore, they're willing to undergo anything. But here's where Chamor fails. He fails his son. He fails B'nai Yisrael. He fails his own people. When you only stay focused with a hyper-focus and a stubbornness, you lose the greater picture. And when you lose the greater picture, it creates all sorts of danger. Not only for the fact that you just talk and talk and talk and talk in a way that gets you nowhere, you wind up losing an ability to find godliness in every step around you. This is Bas Yaakov we're talking about. And had you done things in the right manner, perhaps one day you could have been able to join the greatest nation in the world and been able to go ahead and not be shed and cast aside as refuse from Kedusha, but you would have been able to become infused with Kedusha. The lesson of Chamor Avi Shechem is a lesson that reminds us that There are times and places for us to be stubborn. There are times and places for us to have hyper-focus. But the focus is towards Kedusha. And when it's not, it's a destructive element for you, for your family, and for your nation around you. Baruch Hashem on the other side, when you're hyper-focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so all great things are able to come. And you can be Moshe Lala Chamor. And you can be Moshe Lala Chamor, and you can bring about Mashiach, because then again, we'll get to that stage where that same Yetzirah which tripped up the Chamor of Ishchem becomes that which will be conquered and overseen and will allow us to get Litzion Berina. That, my dear friends, is Chamor, and I thank you all very much for the opportunity to share it with us.